I think today, before I start our little lesson for the day, I'm going to turn off the twinkle that's on my sweater. I'll keep the twinkle here, but I'm going to turn off the twinkle on my shirt. So, hope you've enjoyed it. Hold on. It's not turning off. There. Okay. I don't want to give anybody who has light sensitivity an issue while during the Sunday service. That's just counterintuitive to what we do. So today we're talking about peace, my friends, and I love this interpretation. And this, again, is from my friend Reverend Kurt Condra, who wrote this. Just brilliant writing, because the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth is one that echoes some of the stories of miracle births that occurred in the Old Testament that we read about. Abraham and Sarah having Isaac when Sarah is supposed to be in her 90s. And then the story of Hannah and her son Samuel. And then there's the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Elizabeth was a relative of Mary's. And if you were with me on Thursday, the visit to Elizabeth precedes Mary's song, the Magnificat, in which she sings songs of praise that echo the song of Hannah in the Old Testament. But it was the affirmation that Elizabeth gave her, and I may read part of this story on Christmas Eve, but when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, Elizabeth was already farther along in her pregnancy. And she said that when Mary came into her presence, the babe in her leaped with recognition because it knew that there was something special about this baby that Mary was carrying. And then later on, of course, John the Baptist is the one who baptizes Jesus in service to him. And so this is a sweet, sweet story. And there are a lot of stories in the Bible that are about the men of the Bible, but some of the stories about the women are just the most inspiring and significant and poignant. So I love the story of Mary and Elizabeth, and I love the interpretation. And remember, this is just one interpretation, but we do embrace metaphysical interpretation in Unity and in New Thought. That the way the story unfolds is the way the story unfolds in us as well. There's always a symbolism there. There's always a meaning underneath the story. The characters in the story are characters that live within us. So we have had that intellectual doubt that Zechariah had. We've had the unquestioning joy that Elizabeth had and that Mary had. And so it's important for us to look at these characters and not to judge them, but to look for ourselves in their story. Shall we embrace the miracles that we cannot understand? I think we should embrace those miracles, because on the way to that is the place in us that's ready to receive. It's that silent place. It's that that listening, and that's the place where peace happens. It's not an accident that the peace song ends with the great crescendo, and let it begin with me, because we're the ones responsible for peace. It's not reasonable or possible for there to be peace on earth unless we've begun to have it within ourselves. And so this season in particular, at least for me, is a season of that silent waiting, that silence that comes about when things are occurring that we don't quite understand. And for me, every Christmas, there is a wonder, there is a mystery. There is something that is in us that yearns for what the Christmas message and the Christmas story is for us. And so in a few days, 4 days from now, 4 days, And I have yet to go to the post office, so pray for me, my friends. I'm behind. Excuse me, just a second. I need to get a drink of water. And so, we have an opportunity in these next few days, even as we go to the post office, even as we finish the last of our shopping, even as we try to wrap our heads around Christmas being different than it's ever been before, in my lifetime, for sure. There's an opportunity for us to find that peace. There's an opportunity for us to find that silence within us from which all things spring. It's vital. It's necessary. And one of the hardest times for us is when we have a dilemma in our lives, we have an unanswered question, we have something that we don't have the solution for. And one of the reasons that we pray affirmatively is because we know that in the silence, we can know the absolute truth of that which is coming to pass. And so we pray knowing that the answers are at hand. The answers are already bubbling their way up into our conscious awareness. That period of tension in between the question and the answer is a place of silent and hopefully peaceful waiting. And that's one of the things that marks our spiritual maturity, is that when we're in that uncomfortable place where we're not quite here, we're not quite there, to wait and to be peaceful with it and to get accustomed to the fact that our answers may not come as quickly as we in this mind here want them to, but they will occur. I will share with you a miracle. I didn't ask her permission, but I'll ask forgiveness if it's necessary. A week ago yesterday, my mom, who's living in an assisted living facility that she and my dad moved into just 3 weeks before he passed, they've got several cases of COVID. And my mom tested positively last Saturday, a week ago yesterday. And man, my heart just sank when I heard that she had COVID, because she's got some respiratory issues, and I just thought this is a nightmare. I spent a couple of days just in that quiet place of knowing that everything was in divine order, that God is with my mother all the time. He's with me all the time. He's with our family all the time. And I say he not because I think God's a guy, but because that's an easy pronoun. So I knew that the Spirit was in the midst of all of this. And so every day, my mom has texted her 5 children and said, "No symptoms today. I'm fine." And yesterday when I woke up, I was overwhelmed with a feeling of wonder and gratitude that my mom hasn't gotten sick. And it was important to me to express that to her yesterday, that I see the miracle. I see answered prayer that is being answered in the way that we would hope. Sometimes prayer is answered in a way that we don't expect, but it's always answered. In this case, she's not sick. And I'm so grateful. And I told my mom yesterday, I said, this is a miraculous thing. This is a gift. And I want to say out loud how grateful I am. And to say that God obviously isn't done with you yet. So, you know, get to it. So that's just astonishing to me. It feels that's my Christmas miracle. That's one of them. And so it's important for us to be still enough to be able to see the miracles. It's important for us to be still so that things can be awakened in us that we otherwise would be too busy or too noisy to see and experience. And so we light the candle for peace, not just so we have this, you know, what do you want most in the world? World peace. It's more complex than that, my friends, because world peace will be achieved when we're all peaceful. That's the recipe. We have to be peaceful. And if you're having trouble being peaceful, I invite you to find some theta waves. Is it theta waves that make your brain very, very calm? Get something that chimes or tones or gives you those awakenings in that part of your brain. Do some breathing. Do some yoga. Stand out in nature and breathe fresh air and look at whatever it is that is a miracle of life, either dying or being reborn. I caught a picture of my dog this week when it was crisp and cool in the morning, and he's all white. He's a Westie, and he was laying in the sunshine, and he had his head turned up to the sunshine with his eyes closed. And I thought, man, I want to be that. I want to be that. I want to turn my face to the sun, here and in here. I want to turn my face to the light and be peaceful. Because in that, we begin to see how we might contribute to the world, how our hands and feet can put that into action, where we might make a difference for peace on earth. We have to start right here. And I wanted to share with you that just yesterday, there was a reading from the Center for Action and Contemplation. And I just love Father Richard Rohr. He talked about peace, as we talked about with Joy last week, that peace is a choice that we make. It's a conscious realignment with spirit. And he said, in the troubled times that we're living in right now, is it possible for us to let go of our ideas of freedom and mobility and to consciously participate with reality in a new way? Is it possible for us to do that? To let go of our ideas of freedom and mobility? Those are two of the biggest things that feels like we've given up in order to keep ourselves safe during this pandemic. And then consciously participate with reality in a new way. And then he quotes a man named Han F. DeWitt, who talks about the discipline of stabilitas loci. And if I pronounce that Latin wrong, please forgive me. Stabilitas loci, which very literally means remaining in place. And loci is not just an idea of place. It is a physical being. Stabilitas loci, remaining in place. And when we're remaining in place, if we're just interacting and participating with reality in a different way, we just might find the peace that we seek for ourselves and for the world. You know, one of the nicknames, I guess, for Jesus was the Prince of Peace. And I think that's true. He taught us about a personal relationship with our Creator. He taught us about the responsibility that we have for a deep spiritual life. Remember when he came, the Jews that he was teaching had lived by the commandments and the laws of the Old Testament. And they were living the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law had gotten lost. Why would we have these rules? What are they for? And he said, I came to fulfill the law, but to go beyond it. What good is it to follow a law or a rule if you don't have your heart in it, if you don't have the intention in it? And so he talked a lot about peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world would give you, but as I give you. In other words, the Christ Spirit is where we find our peace. We don't have to wait for outer circumstances and outer situations to resolve themselves in order for us to have peace. It's the other way around. That's the shift in our spiritual thinking. We achieve the peace in here, and this out here begins to become more ordered. Don't get yourself caught in the trap of becoming peaceful and then whacking people with it. Well, I'm peaceful this season. I don't know what's going on with you. Don't you do that. We cannot be smug in our peacefulness. If anything, we should be generous and humble and open to others. We can let peace flow from us to them. It's not our business whether or not they receive it. It's our business to achieve it in here. That's our business. And let it begin with me. And let it begin with me. So, if somebody disturbs your peace, there's an affirmation that's been around forever. I don't even know where it originated. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. There's nothing in there about I'll just grit my teeth through it. I'll just throw out a snappy comeback so that you don't disturb my peace. You maintain that peace. And if something pulls you off of that rock, then you just breathe yourself right back up onto it. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. Friends, this doesn't mean that we're immune to the stressors and the conflicts and the unresolved situations in our lives. We're not immune to them. They're going to be there. But the secret for us is to approach every single situation with that peace. And it might mean holding our tongue for a moment and breathing before we respond. It might mean taking a deep breath and remembering our peace before we freak out about something that's going on around us. And so it's up to us. It's up to us. I present it to you as a challenge, because that's my job, for starters, and because there's strength in our numbers, I can maintain that peace in my soul when I know that my companions, seen and unseen, are doing the same thing with me. So I challenge you to that. Let's let peace begin with us this season. What do you say? And let's see how it shows up in the world around us. Allow these next few days to be a time of silent wonder. That's where the peace lives. Just silent wonder. If you've got a tree up with some lights on it, Just look into the lights. Light a candle. Listen to music that soothes your soul. Think about that young Mary, the symbol of the divine feminine, if there ever was one. Think about that sweet Mary, just a girl, who said, "Okay, let it be done unto me as you say, Holy Spirit. No matter what, I trust and believe, and I'm peaceful. I'm peaceful and I'm grateful. And everything else, seems to have worked out." That she brought forth the Prince of Peace. And so as we get ready to meditate today, I'd like to read from the Daily Word from earlier this month, the first Sunday in December. And it's good, it bears repeating. "Peace flows through me and blesses the world. The light of God shines within all people. I pause to remember this truth as I consider the world and my relationship to it. Jesus said, 'Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you.' The same divine light that lived in Jesus is shining brightly in me. My peace is a gift I choose to give to the world." I want you to just go ahead and start breathing. As you listen to these words, close your eyes if it makes your attention a little more internal. "I bless the world by affirming the kingdom of God is among us here and now. It is through this Christ-centered awareness that I project a consciousness of peace. I live, move, and have my being in the light, love, and peace of God. I expand my awareness of divine ideas through prayer and meditation, and I do my part to uplift the consciousness of the entire planet. I am walking in the light of God, and I am at peace." And in Revelation 21:24, "The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it." And so, beloved, if you haven't already, I'd like you to drop into that heart space from your head space, just like the story of Zechariah. Drop into that space where peace lives all the time, 100%, 24/7, 365. And even if you can grab hold of that one little molecule of peace, then that is enough for the day. And if you can expand it so that the molecules around it touch it and know peace, and it gets larger and larger and larger and expands us. Oh, beloved, it is a holy oxymoron for us to be warriors for peace. But it does imply that it becomes so important that we are willing to forsake our worry, our anxiety, our need to control, and that peace rests. Oh, beloved, it's a mighty flame. And its warmth begins to not only work its way upon us, but those around us in our lives. And people will be touched by our peace and maybe not even know it. And they'll extend it to others, maybe without even knowing it. And so on and so on. Until there is peace on earth. Will you be that person? Will you join with your spiritual companions so that the sum of peace is greater than our parts? Beloved, I open my eyes to you now. It's important for us to have that connection. For us to know that even though we are apart and we miss each other, there's a good chance that what we're doing individually is so strong. It's impermeable. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of our souls. We are one, you and I and all of us. Oh, my peaceful warriors, let's make a difference, shall we? Shall we do that? The least among us, the greatest among us, it makes no difference. There are no limits. There are no labels that can keep peace from flaming inside of us and spilling out into the world. It's that powerful. So today, and every day that comes, let peace be that which guides you and comforts you. May peace be that which brings wonder into your days. And when you acknowledge that wonder, the peace is multiplied. Let's do this together, beloved. And bring your pilgrim hands together as we acknowledge the strength and the infinite possibilities of our spiritual endeavors. And together we say, and so it is. Amen.